The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And welcome in, everybody, to a brand new week of Need to Know here on Tony Curry Radio. Delighted to be with you after the long Thanksgiving holiday weekend. I hope everybody had an outstanding time with family and friends and food and fellowship and all the different things we can. And of course, football. Plenty of F's on that weekend occasion, and I hope everybody just had a fantastic holiday and celebration, whatever you pursued or whatever gatherings you had. It's one of the great weekends of the year, year in and year out. American traditions, nothing beats them. There's a lot of people that want to change a lot of our traditions and take away things that are just second nature to us. But I think there's enough of a resistance movement going on in this country, hopefully, that starting to recognize what the real agenda of people that are trying to transform our country away from some of the greater things that we enjoy routinely. And at the core of that, of course, is our own individual liberty. I just have kind of a variety of things today. So we're going to call this the Need to Know Grab Bag. I've had some items, and I kind of just keep a running log in the notes on my phone when something pops in my head during the week. And generally, when I sit down to talk to you each week on Need to Know, it ends up being kind of a consistent theme. And as you have probably determined by now, once I throw out a topic, I tend to explore that from all different kinds of angles, many of them not anticipated by me. I get off on different tangents as different things kind of come to me. And that's kind of the unusual nature, I think, of my podcast. I'm not reading anything. I'm not looking at notes. I'm just speaking to you person to person about things that are on my mind. So the directions and the exits and the tangents and all of the different methodology is really defined by no methodology. We just kind of throw out some things and explore them from any angle that kind of pops in my pointy little head. But this is going to be more of a grab bag today because I've got a couple of items that I really haven't been able to tie in that now kind of tie together. And I'm going to see if this flows pretty well. But I have to start off the show. I saw the most extraordinary clip. And it was about 2 weeks ago, so many of you may have seen it if you are on different social media outlets or watch any kind of news. This was a body cam from a state trooper in New Mexico, actually, who stopped a young woman who was weaving badly on the highway in the middle of the night, driving on the wrong side of the road. He pulls her over. She's about 25 years old, by my estimate. Dressed pretty conservatively, but in definitely feminine attire. And he pulls her over and walks to the window. She rolls down her window, or I guess electronically brings it down. I'm not sure. Looked like the car was pretty modern. But the bottom line is the officer said, you know, ma'am, I stopped you because you were driving on the wrong side of the road. And, you know, that's I just needed to check and see if you were all right. And she said, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. Had a little bit of small talk. He said, may I see your license? Well, she struggles for a while in her purse and finally produces the license. And the first sign of trouble is the officer says to her, okay, Kylene, may I call you Kylene? And she says, well, actually, no. I'm non-binary, so I don't go by my name. I just go by the shortened version, Kai, because it doesn't identify me. And he goes, okay, Kai. So Kai has already immediately established with this officer that she is non-binary, which is a fascinating thing to be when you don't identify as any gender. You're just you. So, okay, that's a good start. And the officer says, well, I pulled you over for this and that. And I need to ask you, you seem a little bit impaired. Have you been drinking this evening? And she says, yeah, but I only had like three drinks. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to need you to, and before he can even get that out, she says, well, I just want you to know that I am an ingenuous person here in this country. So I guess she's trying to tell him she's got Native American roots. And that's another area that he needs to be aware of. That she is she is from that category. So that's two things she's already identified herself to the officer before we even get started. So he said, I'm going to need you to step out of the car because I need to see if you're okay to drive. And I also need to check your license here. And I guess he went back and did that first. And I don't think he found anything because he says, well, let me just make sure you're okay to drive. And if you'll just pass a simple test for me, maybe we can send you on your way. And she says, well, I have to inform you, I have got severe social anxiety. So getting out of the car and interacting with you is a problem for me. And he said, well, I'm terribly sorry. And now that the list is up to non-binary, ingenuous, and also the other is she's got social anxiety. So those three things are already on the board when she gets out, and he's having her touch her nose and follow his finger and all the different tests. And then he asks her to walk a straight line by taking one foot and putting it just ahead of the other and seeing if she can maintain her course. And she adds another check mark to the line. Well, you know, everything you're asking me to do is very stressful. I don't operate well under pressure. I suffer from, and this is one I've never heard before, generational traumatic distress. I suffer from generational traumatic distress. So in other words, being in her 20s in America, non-binary, a person that's a Native American descendant, and the fact that she's got social anxiety, also add to the list her generational traumatic distress. So of course, the officer sees that she can't begin to function in any of the tests he's administered. And he starts to cuff her, says, I'm going to have to take you to the station. And she just breaks down and she goes, I've told you, this is not my fault. And isn't that amazingly indicative? And this officer conducted himself so professionally. He was so courteous and tolerant of her nonsense. But finally, this was a drunk driver. This was a threat to other people, but it was not her fault because all of the different things that she listed were certainly the reasons that she was having an issue. The fact that she had had drinks and was driving, and they never established what the actual blood alcohol limit or level was when she was actually tested. But isn't this a perfect summary of exactly what's going on in this country in our victimized society, where no one's accountable for anything that they do? It's not their fault. It's all because they have been conditioned to understand that they are not in control of their lives. They are victimized by every aspect of society, and they are not held to any kind of standard of behavior or decorum or just general approach to life. And it was so eye-opening to hear somebody actually going through this indigenous agenda, all the other excuses, with all of her anxieties and traumas and her her lack of identifying herself as any particular gender. She checked all the boxes and probably is an extreme example of just how crazy these times are, where our educators and our leaders are constantly giving people more excuses for not being functional citizens and not really having any understanding of, you know, basic principles of being an American citizen. So with that being said, I'm also struck, and I think it's a perfect tie-in, because as we've been talking about here on the show for the last couple of weeks, these ridiculous protests. Did you see at the Macy's Thanksgiving parade, a bunch of these lunatics ran out in the road with mass quantities of super glue and glued themselves to the pavement in the path of the parade on Macy's day, on the Thanksgiving Day parade, and were yelling and screaming and protesting. And the, what really strikes me is, you know, and again, I suppose they're non-binary, but to identify women, the female protesters, as by far the most adamant and kind of outspoken, the voices you hear at all of these rallies, where it's this, and I talked about it last week, this chanting stuff, where one guy will say some line and the whole crowd in like sing-song rhythm repeats it. It's just like it's like a fun activity. It's been going on all the way back, you know, since the beginning of time. These organized protests by mostly college-age people out in the streets protesting various things. At least back in the 60s, during the Vietnam War, there were legitimate protests and certainly a lot of fervor with that age group, because they were the people that were being dispatched to an Asian country in a war that we had no intention of winning. It was just containment, and it was good for business, because all of the big industrial complex and weapon manufacturers and a variety of other government partners and contractors were making millions and millions of dollars during the Vietnam conflict. So those protesters at least had a basis of concern that affected them. This group right now has been stirred up by these Marxist professors at all these different colleges, because that ideology has been adopted as the primary worldview, that America is evil. America was conceived on racist principles, on white supremacy. That's why they fled Europe, was to come and establish this KKK wonderland in America. And they're selling that bad banana to all these young people, and they're buying it. It's really, really sad. And to hear female protesters all up in arms, and any protesters, but the women's voices, if you listen at these rallies, all the chanting and all the slogans and all of the organized mayhem, the female voices really stand out. And if you hear interviews with protesters, you get a bunch of real dolt guys that kind of don't know anything of what they're talking about. But when they give a microphone to one of the female protesters, they typically, in animated terms, just go off on how the Palestinian people have been oppressed and they need to be freed, and the Israelis are evil and oppressors. These are the Jewish people who have been the most oppressed, victimized group of people in the history of the planet. And now all of a sudden, because Israel has adopted a pro-right-wing kind of tough government, basically for the safety and security of their country being the predominant issue, now they have been shifted from victims to oppressors. And that's the worldview that's being sold to these people, that there's only two things. There's victims and they're oppressors. And the Jewish people now are being stamped and labeled because they happen to be, I guess, more white than their Arabic counterparts in that part of the world. It's the oppression of black and brown people that is the mantra of everything and the basis of all of this hysteria on our university level, especially at the elite level of the Ivy League, MIT, and all kinds of other highbrow institutions. And you think maybe the fact that a lot of these Middle Eastern countries and even communist China infuse millions and millions and millions of dollars into these colleges to kind of get them to change their ideology, to push more of the agenda of the globalist view of America is evil. America with its liberties and representative government needs to be reformed. And you think the money possibly has anything to do with this kind of major change in modern day American educational philosophy, that our system is wrong and this totalitarian Marxist system is right, where people don't have individual liberties, where the state is all important, families need to be dissolved, different rights of individuals need to go away, because we all need to exist in an equitable fashion for the benefit of the state, which in this case is the party, and the party that's been hijacked to be the carrier of the water here is the Democrat Party, which amazingly, everything they accuse modern day people that are opposed to their principles, racism, misogyny, all of the different charges that that this whole MAGA movement, which the first three words of MAGA is make America great. Well, they don't want to make America great. They want America to be dissolved and become a good global partner, a good global citizen. And it's pretty obvious with everything they do. So as we get more into the irony of female protesters not really understanding, and I'm talking about all the protesters here, but the female protesters who have the loudest and most passionate voices to be on the subject, are defending Hamas, which is not the Palestinian people. Hamas is an independent terrorist group funded by the Iranians, who are the biggest sponsors of terrorism in the country. The Biden and Obama administrations before them, and don't kid yourself, the Biden administration is still laced with people that put in place by the Obama administration, and the Obamas live 3 miles from the White House. There's not a lot of doubt that Joe Biden is not the decision maker. He's just kind of the placeholder and puppet in the White House at this time. It's difficult to imagine listening to Joe speak that he makes any decisions about anything. But the bottom line is, these protesters who are standing up for the poor Palestinian people and defending what Hamas did on October 7th, invading neighborhoods and houses and slaughtering thousands of people, or hundreds of people, 1,400 total, and kidnapping and taking hostage little children and old ladies and just whoever they could round up. And everything happening with this hostage exchange right now is what I warned you of a couple of weeks ago. That was the really basis for a lot of this activity, was to get into this situation where the Israelis have no choice but to trade hardened terrorists for little children. And it's a bad trade in retrospect. I mean, you have to do it because you got to get your citizens back if you can. But on the other hand, you are turning back to them some of their most valuable assets, who are going to eventually get back in action and start killing Israelis again. So the intention of Israel to completely snuff out Hamas is absolutely appropriate. And all of this angst and this uproar in our country and other European countries, with plenty of representation of these people that have come from every corner of the globe and migrated all over the world, which is all part of the strategy of radical Islam, Islamic principles. All these people are in the middle of a lot of these protests. And the women that are involved really amaze me, because they're standing up for a philosophy that puts women at so far at the back of the line, they're not even counted as true human beings. They have no rights. They can't go out in public. They can't be educated. They can't aspire to any kind of career or life. And if they, oh my gosh, if they stand up, if they say they're non-binary or indigenous or, socially traumatized, they are considered completely unfit and are subject, and also all the sexual identifications, the standing up and the adamant support for this whole trans movement, which is clearly has been conceived to try and tear down family units by taking away all the traditional roles, but any kind of behavior that is not completely compliant with this medieval philosophy that men are in charge and women just do what they're told and are basically property, that's who they're standing up for. The irony to me is unbelievable. I mean, how can any female who is so adamant about female rights and women's rights, and I have no problem with that. Women have every right, in my mind, to stand up for themselves and demand their fair share of everything. But on the other hand, they completely contradict themselves by supporting the most, backward viewed people for their particular agendas. So it never ceases to amaze me when you get apoplectic behavior from women trying to defend this radical Islamist movement. It's just hard for me to conceive how that can be possible. But they, again, have been taught that there's an oppressor and a victim. And the Israelis have been stamped as the oppressor, because a lot of people who sympathize with the whole idea of this Marxist total government, everybody ties for first place, equitable society. And you know what equity means? They don't use the word equality anymore. It's equity. Everybody needs to be dragged down to the level so they can be like everybody else. Achievement is evil. Capitalism and trying to do the best you can for yourself and your family, evil. You need to be loyal to the state. The state owns everything. The property, the industry, and the citizens are only utilized for the betterment of the state. And if that's the system you want to live in, then keep going out in the streets and protesting. One other thing I'd like to point out on these protests: if you really pay attention, a lot of the people participating in them are these illegal migrants that are in the country, and they are letting their voices be heard, and good for them. But guess what? The right, the First Amendment right to free speech, is for American citizens. If you're in our country and you are out there shouting down our institutions, you need to be put on a boat, plane, train, or automobile and sent out of this country. You do not have a voice. It is not free speech for people that are not citizens, especially people that are breaking our laws by even being in this country. That might sound hardcore, but I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I did get a message recently from someone who's listened to the show and asked me, explain to me what the difference between Marxism and socialism is. And there's not a lot of difference, because Marxism is just the most extreme form of socialism. Socialism is we're all one big collective. And we all work together to put our shoulder to the wheel for the betterment of our society. Marxism, as I just explained, is the hardcore version of that, where citizens don't have any rights. They not even rights to property or possessions. Again, it goes beyond a collective, and there's always a dictator in a Marxist situation, because that dictator is the one who sets the tone for everybody else's equitable behavior to benefit, again, the state or the party. So it's not some big collective effort. Everybody's not holding hands singing kumbaya. It's what one person, one dictator, or one ruling group decides is the best thing for the state. And that is the philosophy that rules the day. So that's basically the difference. Marxism is just the most extreme form of socialism and communism. And it is, if you want all of your individual rights taken away and you just want to be a good citizen who is here for the betterment of the state, that's why at the core of everything we do in America, the family unit is the key. And if they can destroy the family unit, the nuclear family, which they've been trying to do for the last 40 or 50 years, all this indoctrination of children, you're seeing the results. 1979, burn that date in your memory. That was a bad day for America, because that's when the Carter administration finally were able to establish the Federal Department of Education. And that one act really mobilized teachers' unions to become political operatives. And it also transformed education curriculums away from traditional American history. It went to a revisionist history that America is a racist, misogynist, white supremacist country, and every law and the Constitution is based on those philosophies, which could not be further from the truth. So if you talk about make America great again, and the again is the word that gets that phrase in trouble, because that gives them the opportunity to say, yep, you know what they want to do? They want to turn back the clock to the time when everyone was discriminated against except white men. And they can stir up all kinds of support from people that think they're going to be disenfranchised. Make America great. The first three words of that slogan are the ones to emphasize, because we were still a work in progress of making America great. And that's the work that needs to resume, because we've made a lot of strides and there's been tons of progress. And to pull the plug now in favor of this world globalist, communist, Marxist dominated society that everybody else is espousing in the world is not the direction any right-thinking person wants to go. Now, let me say, there's some really encouraging signs around the world. A lot of countries are waking up and realizing, hey, no, we don't want to go this direction. This is not what we want to do. Recent elections in Argentina and the Netherlands both put in right-wing candidates basically want to get back to conservative philosophies and restore power to their citizens. The European Union, far left, is kind of freaking out that this movement is taking place. Italy and Sweden have been other examples recently of countries that have taken this approach. And what a surprise. Israel, in their last election, almost 70% of their citizens rose up against this whole woke agenda in Israel and installed this conservative government. And of course, that's at the core of a lot of this Israeli protest. They don't tell young people this. They tell them that Israel is a hardcore, aggressive oppressor, and the poor Palestinian people who have chosen to let Hamas be in charge of their country for the last almost 20 years. Hamas is a terrorist organization that is responsible for death and destruction all over the world. They are not representing the Palestinian people. They do not care about the Palestinian people. They use them as human shields. They use them as fodder in terms of that they don't emphasize anything in improving situations and life for these people. Their leadership lives high on the hog in Qatar. The three main leaders of the Hamas movement live in opulent mansions. All are worth billions of dollars, and the Iranians filter in all of that support to have a hotspot in the country against Israel, a country they hate, a country that was founded in 1947 or 1948 by United Nations maneuvers. And it's a country that is 40% Arabic. It is not a country that the Israeli people came in and pushed all of the Arabic folks out. This was always a country of multicultures, of Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and now they are seen as the evil oppressors. So just some food for thought for you. Hopefully all of this victim society and all of this outrage that we're seeing, the only remedy is to restore our country to our founding principles. If you enjoyed Thanksgiving, if you're looking forward to the holiday season, which also is a white supremacist plot, you are a violator. So no matter what your politics are, if you value your liberty and your freedom, you need to stand up for what's right. And what's right is our Constitution and our founding principles and our country. And if I sound like Joe Patriot, my apologies, but I'm just operating from a position of common sense. And I wish everybody would turn that part of their mind back on, block out the noise, make sensible decisions for yourself, your family, and your future. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what you need to know. And we will be back next week with more. Don't forget, join Tony and I for Kiefer and Curry this week. We'll be talking about some interesting subjects. We always come up with some fun angles and provocative topics. And of course, don't miss ABC 3340, Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. It's the starting lineup. Kiefer and Curry with a great lineup of guests. And we will talk about the college football playoff and all the excitement coming up there. Have a great week, everybody. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thanks for tuning in to Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.